Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you listen to this message.
Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them," that's it, "in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Before you sit down, look at somebody and say, "You are a disciple maker." You are a disciple maker. Yeah. If you don't get anything else and you walk out the store today, that's the thing. Y'all can sit down. I love it because it ends with, "He's with us. Be sure of it." Be sure of it, that he is with you. I love it. Guys, I cannot believe that I've been on staff at Hope Church for 8 months now. For some of you guys, you're like, "Really? Only 8 months?" And some of you are like, "Really? Feels like an eternity." But the Lord has taught me so many things over these 8 months. I've worked on different projects, whether it be guest services, men's ministry, Hope Family, and I've become increasingly aware of two things. I hear everyone saying, "Paul, I need connection. I need community." But if we learned anything else in this last year, we have learned that we are in major need of community and desperate need of discipleship. How many people would say amen to that? Yeah. As Pastor Josh was talking to me about how we would build the future of what Hope Church would become and how we would best represent Jesus in our community, what he was hearing from the Lord was family and discipleship. So I began this journey of working on a way to build community, but to also start us on the path of intentionally pursuing a culture of discipleship. A culture of discipleship is more than me just standing up here saying, "Go make disciples," right? A culture of discipleship is more than bringing your coworker and your neighbor to church for me to tell them, "Go make disciples." A culture of discipleship flows out of these doors into the streets. It goes down Blackman. It hits Highway 65. It goes to Ozark. It goes to Branson. It hits Arkansas. Yeah, even Arkansas. No offense. If you're from Arkansas, we love you. Online church in Arkansas. God bless you. Sorry. We will never make disciples of all nations if we remain solely dependent on the Sunday morning experience. Come on, I wasn't sure it was going to hit like that, but yeah. I do love being here. Like, Sunday morning is so important. The laughs, the smiles, the hugs, the coffee, the worship, the preaching. But then what? Go make disciples of all nations. As I begin to pray and study about the way forward when it comes to Hope Church and discipleship, I went back to Matthew 28, 18 through 20 to see who was Jesus talking to when he said, "Go." Let's read it again. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I've been giving all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Who's he saying this to? His disciples. How many people here would say you're a follower of Jesus? Are you a disciple of Jesus? He's saying it to us. He's saying, "Stephen, go." He's saying, "Jack, go." He's saying, "Anita, go. Make disciples." You might say, "Now, Paul, I've never been to Bible college. I've never been trained on how to talk to people about Jesus. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do." And again, if I could leave you with one thing, sometimes I like to start with the punchline. Like, the joke's not as funny when you do that. But whenever I'm trying to make a point, I really sometimes just like to tell you, here's the point. So you can keep listening if you want to, but reality is, if you walk away knowing this, you can walk out this door and make disciples of everyone that crosses your path. God will put people in your path that you can encourage, that you can speak life to, that you can be Jesus to. They are there. The reality is they're already there. The reality is you probably are already doing it and you just didn't realize it. There was a moment when I realized, wait a minute, I've been making disciples. I had no idea that when I went to my neighbor and prayed for him, when he called me, whenever I went to my employees and talked to them about the hurt in their life and I showed them Jesus, I was making disciples. If you're a disciple of Jesus, you've been commissioned to make more disciples. This reminds me of a story, because, you know, sometimes we don't feel qualified. I feel like I am so sick of that lie that I hear it. It's just like, I'm not good enough. You don't know my past. Like, your past is your purpose. Like, the reality is that whenever you get set free, that is the beginning of your discipleship story. It reminds me of the story of the man in Mark 5, 1 through 20. It's the guy who was filled with demons, like the demoniac. Like, they called him Legion because he had so many demons in him. So I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to tell you the story, then we'll catch up in the scripture. But, you know, there's this guy. If you haven't heard the story, I don't know. I don't want to assume that you have, so we'll talk about it. So this guy, he's full of demons, right? He's in this city, and he's really terrorizing everyone. He's being terrorized, and he's terrorizing everyone. And then Jesus shows up to the seashore. How many of you love it when Jesus shows up to the seashore, right? Like, I remember when he showed up to my seashore. And the guy who's full of demons runs to him. This guy's been living among the dead. He's been put in chains that couldn't hold him, but they were trying to restrain him. He was out of control. But when he sees Jesus, he comes running and he wants to be set free. So then Jesus does what Jesus does and sets him free. And he sends the demons into the pigs. The pigs run into the sea and drown, and he kills the pigs. So then the people of the city come out and they're like, "What's going on? You killed our pigs." And they see the guy sitting at the feet of Jesus. Like, I love it, because it's like in a moment, he went from terrorizing to fully clothed in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus immediately. So then the people kind of get upset, so they tell Jesus to leave. So then Jesus is like, okay. So he gets up and he starts going back to the boat. We're going to catch up with him, and we're going to start reading at verse 18. And Jesus was getting back into the boat. The man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with them. But Jesus said, "No, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. You know, as I read this, so the way my brain works is I often look at things like a movie, right? I think we probably all do that. We create pictures in our mind. And I remember a class that I took back when I was in college. It was called Christianity in Film. And I love this class, probably my all-time favorite class. And so the class really, what the teacher taught us was that to look for the Jesus character in a story. So we'd watch a movie and we would write a paper on who the Jesus character was. So this kind of trained me to start looking at movies this way. So I'm always looking for the Jesus character, and I'll be like, "Oh, there's the Jesus character." But another thing that I do when I read Bible stories, I often ask myself, "Where am I?" Like, who am I in this story? So let's talk for a minute the characters of this story. There's Jesus, right? The main character. There's the man who's tormented, the demoniac. There's the community, and of course, there's the pigs. And so when I'm reading the story in the Bible, I'm like, who am I? So one, I would say don't be the pigs. Like, because the pigs really got the raw end of the deal. They're the ones that nothing ends good for them there. Like, they go in the water, they're dead. That's it. So don't be the pigs. Amen. Good night. So, just kidding. Two, I started thinking about this man, the demoniac, right? We've all been him. Like, you may not have been possessed with demons, right? But you were in need of meeting Jesus at the seashore. You were in need of being set free. We were living among the dead. We were in need of being in our right mind. We were in need of sitting at the feet of Jesus. Take a second and consider how he set you free. Like, sometimes we forget our story. So take a second and think about what he set you free from. Go back. This might have been 50 years ago. This might have been yesterday. This might have been just a while ago. Go back for a minute and remember. You know, my dad used to always, like, we went through a season of our life after we were adults that my dad would sign cards and he would write just the word "remember." And I didn't really know what he was talking about. Honestly, you know, my 20-year-old self was like, "What does this mean?" And I'd ask him, and he would just be like, "Remember." But as I wrote the word "remember" in my notes, it all came flooding back. All that the Lord's done for me. All that the Lord's brought me through. Remember. Remember. A beautiful thing happens once this man who's possessed gets set free. Jesus sends him. He tells him to go back to his family and tell everything that God's done for him. I'm not sure how long this guy had been set free, right? It seems like maybe it was within the same bit of hours. I don't think they were there for 24 hours. So within a day, a man goes from being full of demons to a disciple maker. He had an encounter, and then Jesus said, go. As I read this story, I also came across something that a chapter later that I really hadn't noticed or even really heard talk about, but it's incredibly beautiful. And, you know, so Jesus and his disciples, they actually show back up here in chapter 6. And, you know, the last time they ran him off because he killed their pigs, and they were scared, and they were afraid, and the community was upset, and they asked him to leave. But when he came back, they had a different response. So it's Mark chapter 6, 53 through 56. I'm going to read that. After they crossed the lake, they landed at Gennesaret. I looked that up on YouTube, how to pronounce that, just so you know. I'm not scholarly. I just know how to use the internet. They brought the boat to shore and climbed out. The people recognized Jesus at once. They're like, that's the dude that killed our pigs. And they ran throughout the whole area, carrying their sick people to him wherever he was. Wherever he went, in the villages, the cities, the countryside, they brought the sick out to the marketplace. They begged him to let the sick touch at least his robe. And all who touched him were healed. It struck me that these folks who ran Jesus off a chapter later are modeling what the demoniac did. What did he do when Jesus showed up to the shore? He ran to them. He ran to him to be set free. So he's been disciple making for a chapter and a half. And when Jesus comes back, they now are running to the seashore for Jesus to set them free. They saw something change. One man's encounter changed an entire region. But something else that stood out to me is that they were in the marketplace. They weren't dragging them to church. They were pulling the sick to the marketplace. Where do you live every day? We live in the marketplace. We are in church on Sundays and Wednesdays. I'm here every day. But church Sundays and Wednesdays, and you are in the marketplace every single day. Are we pulling out the sick? Are we bringing them out so they can touch the hem of his garment? This is what we're called to do. So this one man spends a chapter and a half discipling his entire region. And when Jesus returns, they now are modeling what he set for them. What's your story? What's your testimony? What did Jesus set you free from? What did you write down earlier? When others see the change that Jesus has done in your life, you actually become the Jesus character in the story. They will get set free, and then they'll start their own discipleship story, doing the things that Jesus would do if he were you. Your testimony helps others overcome. You had everything you needed as soon as you were set free. I love how God meets us supernaturally, right? Chris was talking about this. Like sometimes, you know, we do the natural part. He does the supernatural part. It reminds me of a story. This is kind of one of my favorite stories to tell. A lot of you guys have heard it, but it reminds me of the part that the Lord does and the part that we get to do, right? This is a beautiful expression of this. So this was 3 years ago. I was setting right where Pastor Aaron's setting. Hi, Pastor Aaron. At the back, I was sitting in the back. And I remember standing up at the end of the service, and as I stood up, I saw this picture in my mind of a lady and this little girl in a wheelchair in front of her. I'd never seen them before, but I was in a kind of one of those like moments in my life where I'm like, I think God's showing me things. You know God will show you things? Like this is a supernatural thing. Like as soon as you start giving your hands to his work, he will start giving you his heart. And so I stood up, I see this picture, and I'm like, I wonder if I'm gonna run into this person. And I went to Panera that morning after church, and I looked all over Panera, and she wasn't there. But I wasn't discouraged. So the next morning, I decided I'm going to go to Panera again, and I'm going to look for her. So I went to Panera, looked, and she wasn't there. And then I was working for a retail chain at the time, and I was sitting there working. I got done working. I'm going to go visit a store. I got up, packed my computer up, put my backpack on, and took a step out into the aisle, and there she was. The exact scene that the Lord had shown me, the supernatural eyes of the heart of the Father. So then my heart starts pounding. I'm like, oh no, that's her. That's the girl in the wheelchair. What am I supposed to do? Why did you show me that? Am I supposed to say something, or were you just showing me because you wanted me to tell me how awesome you were? No, he shows us stuff so we can do stuff. Like, that's what it is. And so I was like, I got to talk to her. So she was talking to the manager. So I was like, I went back and sat down. My heart's pounding. I'm really like, oh my gosh, this is really happening. He really showed me these two girls, this lady and her daughter. And now I'm really seeing it. And so he leaves. I go back and I go to talk to her. And I can't really, like, I'm almost going to start bawling, right? Because I'm like, this is really happening. So I walk up to her, and all I could say, and I'm sure this freaked her out a little bit. I was like, I kind of started crying. And I was like, I was at church. I'm a believer. I was at church yesterday, and the Lord showed you to me. He showed it to me. And all I can tell you is that he knows you. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're doing. He sees you. He's aware of you. We both started crying, and then I left, right? And then I get to my car, and I call Pastor Josh. I'm like, bro, this happened. I didn't even pray for her. But you know what I found out that day? That lady had an encounter with God, because his heart connected to my fingertips. The reality is his heart wants to connect to your hands. He wants to connect to your heart and make its way to your hands. He's inviting you to go now. You have what you need the moment you were set free. You don't need to wait on me. You don't need to wait on Pastor Josh to say, go make disciples. Jesus already said it. You already have it. He already set you free. Go make disciples. Go to your home and declare how much God has done for you. Go and make disciples of all nations. So I could stop there, right? We could all leave right now, and you'll be like, I'm a disciple maker. And then you would run out the door, you'd go to Panera, you'd look for a lady, you'd give her a word from the Lord, she'd have an encounter, you'd go to the car, you'd call Pastor Josh and be like, I forgot to pray for her. And then it would all start, right? But what I want to talk to you about next is the vision for Hope Church moving forward. Like, what is Hope Family? As we move into the next couple of months, we are creating something. We're beginning something called Hope Family. This is something that really I've had the pleasure to be part of since I started here for 8 months. And it's really been the heart of what we've shared about, the heart of what the Lord has shared with us. Like, how do we grow the body of Christ? Not specifically the body of Hope Church, but the body of the church, right? Our building at this point could not house what the Lord is going to do in this community, in this city. The vision of Hope Family is rooted in the mission of Hope Church. The mission of Hope Church, if you don't know, I'll read it. The mission of Hope Church is to grow a relational, missional, spirit-filled family that will provide a living demonstration of the kingdom of God. In other words, whether here or somewhere else around the world, doing what Jesus would do if he were us. Like, literally, what would Jesus do, right? What would Jesus do if he were us? God loves family. Like, it's kind of the way. Like, he's the Father. You know, I think it's in 2 Corinthians. It says that God, he is the Father, and we are his sons and daughters. In Psalms, it says that he sets the lonely in family. Y'all, don't you know there's some lonely out there? There's probably some lonely in here. He wants to set you in family. He wants to connect you. He wants to build community. He wants to disciple you. He wants you to disciple. As we begin to seek the heart of the Father and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we believe that the way forward for Hope Church was to start building a community that starts us on the journey of building a culture of intentional discipleship. It would look like Hope Family leaders intentionally investing in the lives of those that are in their family. Part of the vision is that the pastors of Hope Church would work to equip the body to live out the heart of the Father in their community, in the marketplace, bringing the sick to the marketplace, healing the sick in the marketplace, raising the dead Is that out of the realm of possibilities? Like, I want to see it. It takes our hands. It starts with his heart. We're currently preparing and equipping family leaders to start hosting Hope Families. These will be regular gatherings in homes, maybe here at the church. Hope Family leaders will not be just facilitators, but they will be intentionally investing in your lives. Hope Family is more than just a life group that ends in a semester. It's an intentional investment. Hope Family members will be challenging, encouraging to become everything the Father has intended you to be. It's not too late, and it's never too early to be everything that he dreamed you would be. Like, you may have given up on you. He hasn't. He remembers. I'm asking you to remember. Since Pastor Josh became the lead pastor, I've heard something consistent. I wasn't even on staff. And we learned before, you know, pre-COVID, we learned prayer and equipping. This is what we're doing. We are going to pray because we are a house of prayer. We are going to equip the saints to do the work. This is what we're doing. And really, this bringing back of Wednesdays that you just heard, that's really what we're doing. We're praying. And then the last Wednesday of every month, we'll be equipping the entire body with a focused equipping purpose. As we talked about this, we really thought this would look more like the Acts 2 model, right? So we're going to read a little bit of what the church looked like. I feel like it's like a Back to the Future moment. Like, what does Acts 2 look like? What does it look like whenever we go back to the beginnings of the church? So let's read it. Acts 2, 46 to 47. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Like, this is in no way to be condemnation at all. But sometimes I wonder, like, where's the church? Like, I want to enjoy goodwill of all men. Like, they'd be like, they are so much like Jesus that I want to be like them. This is who we're called to be. They had meals. They had joy. They had generosity. They were praising God. And the part that really stuck out to me was that the Lord added to the numbers. The Lord, as we reflected him, he did his part. We believe that it's important for our family to gather together in the temple, but it's equally important for our family to gather at the table. We believe that Hope Family will grow and the Lord will add to the numbers. We believe that this is how the church will grow. How could it look? It could look like all of us getting together with our family, eating, praying, spending intentional time in the Word. The Lord has shared a vision for me, and I'm going to share this for a little bit. I really see, and I hope that you can catch this with me, because when I think about Hope Family, I don't think about just the gatherings that we have on the week, but I started thinking about who we are becoming in our community, who we are becoming in our community. You know, I live in Nixa. And I started thinking about the city that I live in and how we've really experienced some heartache of late in our community. What if there were Hope Families in Nixa that just mobilized whenever there was something like that? What if all of a sudden we took every opportunity to be an opportunity to be Jesus? What if with all of a sudden we start being Jesus to our community? We don't wait for a pastor to tell us, go feed the hungry. We just feed the hungry. We don't wait for a pastor to tell us, go shovel driveways. We just go shovel driveways on behalf of Jesus. The vision starts with the heart of the Father is manifested through our hands. Hope Family will be made of people who attend church at Hope and possibly, hopefully, people that don't. Like, there's people that the Lord is going to give you. There's people that you are going to be discipling that may never come through the doors here. But you get to be Jesus, the Jesus character in their life. As I mentioned earlier, we'll be equipping you and the family leaders. It's our expectation that as the Lord adds, we will grow our families. We will grow our family leaders. Our hope is that you would grow, you would go, and you would lead. We all are trying to mature. It's like Ephesians 4. We're trying to grow and be the part that we were created to be. And really, that starts with you. It starts with your story. It starts with how you were set free. It starts with who you are. So at this point, I will talk a little bit. This seems like so much business now, and I'm sorry for that. Like, I like to have fun, and I feel like I'm just like, this is what Hope Family is going to be, and you are going to do it, and you will enjoy it. Sorry. That's not what I'm trying to do here. What I want to tell you, I'm so excited because the reality is I didn't realize how, this is going to sound crazy to you, but I didn't realize like how important discipleship is, right? It seems like I would know. He said, go do this. But I'm like, let's just have a moment with the Lord. It's going to be great. And then we'll go home and I'll yell at my wife. No, that is not the way. The way is to make disciples of all people. And the way we do that is we start by telling our story. We start by telling our overflow. Like, where are you at in the word this week? What has the Lord said to you? I have found so many times that when the Lord starts saying something to me, he's saying the same thing to someone else. And then we start talking about it. We get encouraged. And then all of a sudden, his purpose is fulfilled. That's what it is. We can no longer just sit around and show up to church, which, again, this is awesome. But what's next? You know, I can remember being down here and praying with people, hearing their issues, hearing their concerns. They're coming to the seashore to find Jesus. And when they walk away, Jesus, the Lord asked me, what now? What now? They need to be in family. They need to be discipled. This is who we are. This is who we're called to be. He's inviting us to be more than just Sunday morning attenders. As families grow, there will be people who will be ready to leave their family and start their own. So again, the business of it. Sorry for all you onliners. Hopefully you guys are commenting a lot and just entertaining each other. But at this point, you might be wondering, Paul, how could I be in a Hope family? Like, that sounds awesome. I've been needing community. I want to get connected. I want to know people. I want to be discipled. I want to be loved. I want to have purpose. And so maybe something even sparked in you that you want to be a Hope family leader. So what we've done, we've created a couple of things. I think that it's up on the screen, maybe not. So how many people downloaded the app? Good. Now, those of you who didn't, you go to the app store, and it's My Hope Live, but you can see there's a button for Hope Family. If you click that, it'll tell you all about Hope Family. It'll tell you, you can click on how to join a family. You can click on how to get more information about being a family leader. It's very easy. You can go to the website, hopechurch.net/family. It's all there. That was easy. I really see Hope Family being the way into everything the Father's always dreamed about Hope Church. You know, when I started going here 13 years ago, I remember it's very vivid, the purpose of what we said Hope Church was about. It was a church for the beat up, the burnout, the hurt in life, the hurt in church. I heard the desire for God to pour out his spirit here because his name was here. And I truly believe that Hope Family is the path to fulfill his dreams for Hope Church. As we begin to disciple, as we begin to lead, as we begin to love, as we start building community, we begin to minister to the burnout, the broken. We begin to see his spirit poured out, encounters like Panera. You're going to have your own stories. You already do. But I want to encourage you that as you leave this place today, that every person that crosses your path, think of them as an intentional moment to be the Jesus character in their story. Don't let another person pass you by. Sometimes it's going to be weird. I can tell you this. I have done it. And it's like, oh, I don't want to be the Jesus character in that person's story right now. Like, could you please turn left so that I don't have to be the Jesus character in your story? But the reality is that I believe that he loves us so intentionally that he's putting them in your path so that you can have an impact on who they are. The Lord is now even probably reminding you of moments. I remember having more moments where I didn't do it than I did. I remember moments where I knew I was supposed to be Jesus to someone and I was like, I can't do it. I want to encourage you that you have it in you. Your story is your curriculum. Your journey is your roadmap. Like, we overcome by the word of your testimony. Testify. Be Jesus to everyone that crosses your path. Pastor Josh, would you come up? And we're gonna have everybody stand. I want to take a moment. If you'd stand, please, just take a moment. And I just want to encourage you to ask the Father to empower you as you leave this place, and that he will put people in your path. God, I thank you. I thank you for what you're doing here at Hope. I thank you for the vision that you have for these people and for us. I thank you.
Yeah, I want to just pray in just a second, but how many would say amen to what Paul has shared today? Can we give him just even a thank you this morning? Man, I love this man. I believe the Lord brought him here to this role to be a part of really releasing just the next step of what God wants to do in our city. I remember a year and a half ago when I stepped into the lead pastor role, I remember just so much in my heart knowing that if good sermons on Sunday mornings were going to change the city, it would have happened. There's amazing preaching in this city, and yet the city is not transformed. There's another way, and I believe that it will come through encounter, and it will come through discipleship, the church empowered, exactly what Paul shared today. How many want to be a part of that? I mean, really, how many really want to be a part of that? I do. I love church. They met in the temple and in homes. It was always both. It isn't that this isn't important, but I have to tell you, the Sunday morning is just a piece of the pie, right? And something else has to shift in us. And I believe that this is part of the shift that God is doing in this season, where we actually walk out of here having encountered him, and we walk in encounter, and we lead people to Jesus, and we show them who he is, and we actually ask God who he's given to us, and then we commit our hearts to those becoming like him. I mean, when I think of John 17, and I'm not preaching again, I guess I'm doing that thing. That thing that pastors do when they preach the second message. But Jesus, I'm not doing that. Jesus said in John 17, in that prayer, he was saying to the Father, the ones that you'd given me, the 12. I think the first step of all of this is just us posturing ourselves as we walk out of here today and saying, Jesus, who are you giving me? Who are you giving me? And then pursuing them. And actually intentionally pouring our lives into those people. And I think most of the battle is just the posturing of saying, who are you giving me? And actually meaning it, because he will answer that, because that's what he's called us to do. So if you want to be a part of that, would you just lift up your hands today? And I'm going to pray, and then I think Paul's going to pray. And just, I pray even right now, all over this room today, that we would step, this isn't like a program, God, we're stepping into a new culture, that you are growing a kingdom culture in us. Would you just pray in the spirit right now, even just opening your hearts, just saying, God, I just open my heart to your heart. I just pray that we would step into a greater measure of the culture of the kingdom of heaven, and that you would give us your heart for the world, but you would give us your heart for those that we're going to come into touch with tomorrow. Father, I pray that you would speak to us clearly of the ones that you are giving us, that we are going to pull into family, not just facilitating a meeting, but actually pulling people into a family where we pour into them and we show them who you are, and we're intentional and we're equipping people in the ways that you have called us to, Father. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that the lie that you are not able to do this would be silenced. In Jesus' name, I pray even the spirit of spectator would be broken off of us in Jesus' name, that it would be broken off of the church. And I just speak that over Hope Church, that idea that we're just here to observe and watch professionals do it would be no more, but that we would get in the game, that we would get in our skin in the game on this, God, and that we would walk with you, no more observers, but all of us practicing the way. practicing the way, following you, Jesus, in the way. And I pray even for the one right here that just feels inadequate today, that you love to use the weak ones, the weak things, to confound the wise. If you have the Spirit of the living God in you, you have enough to take that next step. And I pray that in the name of Jesus today, that when we walk out of here, we would ponder these things that Pastor Paul has shared, and we would ask you, God, we want to be used in this. Lead us into what you're doing, because we want to be a part of the harvest that is coming. It's coming through us by the Spirit of the living God through the church. And we pray that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.